Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'm going to give the shiur this morning at great personal risk, and I hope that indeed I'll get out of it alive. My health insurance and life insurance is paid up. I don't know about you, Arthur, but I hope it's paid up. And if anyone has a heart attack after this class, then I want to say right at the beginning the disclaimer, it's your own fault. I'm joking. This shiur is not about anyone here specifically. This shiur is about a general topic that's been bothering me in the last few weeks. And I'm going to spell it out and let it out. And as I've done in the past, I believe that the Jewish way of letting off steam is not to shoot and not to kill and not to beat up anyone, but to give a shiur. That's the way the Jews let off steam. So I'm going to let off steam this morning. And Bruce, you're going to hear it whether you like it or not. I mean, you can always shut off your Zoom, but quite frankly, if you don't, you're going to hear it. All right, so let's begin. The shiur begins, as usual, with a live story, not a Hasidic story, a true story. How do I know it's a true story? It happened to me. And here's the story. It's a very simple story, Alex. I, as you know, like everyone, I'm very happy that yesterday was the first day here in Israel that Baruch Hashem, we did not have to go out with our masks. There's only a few places where masks are still relevant. And despite it, many people continue to daven outside. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. Is it mutter? Is it usser? But suffice it to say, it continues to happen. Now, in one of these minyanim, I noticed that a few of the gentlemen are still davening, not in the same domain as the minyan, but rather they're davening from their porches, which is a totally different domain. And according to many poskim, they're not mitzaref to the minyan. In other words, they can't go home after davening and say to their wives, we daven in minyan this morning, or we went to minyan. First of all, they didn't go anywhere. And second of all, it could very well be that on their porches, they were not part of the minyan. So many of these people I don't know, and therefore because I don't know them, I gotta be both common sense smart and follow the dictates of Chazal. What does Chazal say regarding reprimanding another Jew? A mitzvah in the Torah. Let's not belittle it. Let's not say it's not a modern or postmodern thing to do, but it's a mitzvah in the Torah. Hocheach tocheach atamitecha velo tisa alav chet. What did Chazal say about that? Anytime you see a Jew not making a bracha, you start screaming at him, yelling at him?
No,
says Bruce. Why not?
You're going to turn him off. It's not the proper way to get Messiah. I mean, you would educate him, you uplift him, you encourage him, teach him the right thing.
That's a lot to do for one person doesn't get to do a bracha before he drinks, but okay, I'll take your word for it. The Gemara says, Keshem, just like there's a mitzvah to tell someone that will listen to you. Reprimand him and say, hey, you're doing something improper. Kach, in the same way, there's a mitzvah to keep your mouth shut if you don't believe it's going to help. So everything Bruce said is out of Chazal. It's absolutely correct. So many of the people I don't know, and therefore, I, of course, kept my mouth shut. But one of these gentlemen I did know.
You also have to be very confident that you know more than the guy you're talking to. Mm-hmm. The guy with the ear and the sheep, that you maybe should have 10 years.
Correct.
So you've got to ask yourself, you're going to tell him. I mean,
So Bruce is correct. And before you open your mouth, and this is exactly what I did, I went home. I have a book at home. As a matter of fact, I'll take it out one second. The name of the book is called Heviani Chadarecha. You have brought me to my room, and this is all about the halachos of Corona. Like Minyan, Pesach, a whole fat book. It was put out during Corona. It's put out by a gentleman by the name of, I don't see here, but as soon as I find it, I'll find it. A lot of Piskei Halacha. So I went home and I made sure to brush up. And then I was confident to say that perhaps you're not mitzaref to a minyan. And I told two people. One person heard it and said, thank you for letting me know. And he right away went to the domain where the minyan was happening. But the second gentleman heard me and said something that bothered me to no end. He didn't come at me and says, I have other sources. And he didn't come at me and say, how dare you tell me what to do. And he didn't come at me and say, mind your own business. Because any of the above, I could live with. He said something else. And this was his words. Don't mix me up with the facts. I said, don't mix you up with the facts. Yeah. I said, I'll be happy to send you sources. I'd rather not receive them. What I'm doing is good enough. Gentlemen, that statement, what I'm doing is good enough, is the end of Judaism. If Jews start speaking that way, we're finished. We have no future. What is he basically telling me? I hear that it's bidyeved, perhaps, but it's good enough. So bidyeved is good enough. And I hate to say it, but that's the end of Judaism, and I'll explain why. When we talk about a Jew, what is the highest compliment that you can give a Jew? I know two compliments that are the highest compliment you can give me. If you would tell me any of the above, I would kiss your feet. The first thing is a Talmid Chacham. And the second compliment is an Oved Hashem. An Oved Hashem. Not a Frum Jew. Because as you know in Kelum, what did they say about Frum Jews? Kelum was a Musa Yeshiva. They used to say, the Galach is Frum. You know what a Galach is? Or do I have to explain basic Yiddish to everyone? Yeah. Everyone here, is there any Sfardim on the Zoom this morning? If there are any Sfardim, my apologies from the bottom of my heart. I am now going ahead and talking Chinese, and I apologize. But if everyone's Ashkenazi, you should all be ashamed of yourself if you didn't know what a galach is. If you don't know basic Yiddish. Arthur, my teachers taught me. Moshe Rabbeinu chav geretten mit der Ebeshter in Yiddish. Oh, you heard that too, Arthur. Your problem was you knew they were wrong. I thought they were right.
No, I thought maybe sometimes.
Oh, you thought maybe he did. Oh, thank God we're the same on this.
Yinglish.
Oh, okay. Moshe Rabbeinu chav geredin mit der Herbeste in Yinglish. Okay. See, I never thought, what is he going to talk to him about? You can't talk to him in Hebrew. Hebrew is the language of the Siddur. It's the language of the Chumash. It's a holy language. English is a goyish shpach. So what did he talk to him to? In Yiddish. That's what I thought too. For many years. Make a long story short, in Kelum they said, Frum is a galach. Okay? A Jew is ehrlich, is honest. I'd like to say, if you call me any of the three, this is the highest compliment. Ehrlich, honest, a Talmid Chacham, or an Oved Hashem. Now, what is an Oved Hashem, and what's a Talmid Chacham? Ehrlich, everyone knows, honest. Let's see. Okay, a Galach is a priest.
Like a Christian priest.
He's a priest, because he shaves his head, so it's called a Galach, from the word Lid Galach. Okay, gentlemen, the Gemara in Chagiga, I'm not making it up. The Gemara in Chagiga comes along and says, if you're empathetic, have apathy, and say, what I'm doing is good enough, don't mix me up with the facts. That is what the Gemara calls, you'll see in a moment. But if someone says, hey, I'm not apathetic, I'd love to hear. Oh, you said something interesting. Let me go to the sources. Maybe I'll disagree, I'll agree, I'll change, I won't change. That's what the Gemara calls an Oved Hashem. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Navi to tell the Jewish people, V'shaftem v'ra'item ben tzadik l'rasha. I am going to make a distinction between a tzadik and a rasha. We're going to have to define those terms in a moment. Bein Oved Elohim la'asher lo avado. Someone that worships God, what we call an Oved Hashem, l'bein la'asher lo avado. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Hainu tzadik, hainu oved Elohim. If you say to someone you're a tzadik, or you say to someone you're an oved Hashem, what's the difference? It's the same thing. It's synonymous. And you know in the Tanakh, many a times they say the same thing in other words. Where did you think the saying in other words came from? It came from the Tanakh. Many times the Tanakh repeats things in other words. But the Gemara, or at least Chazal, said, no, these two terms must mean two different things. If not, it's repetitive. So the Gemara explains the following. Amale, avado velo avado, tarvayu tzadike gemure ninhu. Whether you're an Oved Hashem, you worship God, you're a servant of God, or not, you're still a tzaddik. But what's an Oved Hashem? An Oved Hashem is a nodome shone pirko mea pa'amim l'shone pirko mea v'achat. Who is an Oved Hashem? Someone that goes over his learnings, not just 100 times, but 101 times. This is one of the strangest Gemaras I've ever seen. What's an Oved Hashem? An Oved Hashem is someone that goes over his learning 101 times. Who's not an Oved Hashem? Someone that doesn't go over his learning 101 times. And they're both tzaddikim. Don't worry. You're both tzaddikim. Explain my Rebbe, Rav Amital. This is what it means. Lamadnu mikan, he says. Sha'adam yachol liyot tzaddik gamur, va'adayin hu lo yugdar ke Oved Hashem. The Gemara says explicitly, Oved Hashem means one thing, but even if you're not an Oved Hashem, you can still be a tzaddik. What's an Oved Hashem? Explain my Rebbe Rav Amital, and I quote, Sha'adam yamshich b'limud iyuni b'meshech chayav, gam la'achar shu'ozev et limudo ha'kavua min beit ha'midrash. And he goes on to say, mipnei she'dafka b'derech zo, ba'al yedei bitui avodat Hashem b'melo ha'otzmata. I'm going to explain what I think my Rebbe means. And you may not like this, but he basically says as follows. An Oved Hashem is someone that constantly continues to develop. Now, he can't develop his ears. Once his ears are grown in, that's it. He can't develop his teeth. Once he finished teething and he made his parents miserable through the teething process, that's finished. What's the only fiber of your being that continues to develop all the time? Your mind. Your mind. So if you don't continue developing your mind in learning Torah, what you're basically saying is, I'll continue to develop my mind in every other discipline. When I read a newspaper, I'm going to read it at a level of a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, and not a level of a 10-year-old I used to be. But when you read anything that has to do with Judaism, you leave it at that same primitive level, and you don't develop it. An Oved Hashem is someone that constantly develops. Doesn't change every day, but develops constantly. A non-Oved Hashem is someone that says, good enough! Good enough! So it's b'di'evad, good enough! Don't mix me up with the facts! Well, I'll give you another example. I have a dear friend, really a dear friend. I mean, this is someone that I consider a very dear friend. And he doesn't live, and he listens to my classes from time to time. And he called me recently and he says, you know, I haven't been listening to your classes because they're dealing with the laws of prayer. I said, you're right. I didn't know you know all the laws of prayer by heart. His answer, telling. Laws of prayer. Not the highest priority. I pray anyway. No, I pray anyway. I asked him, when did you learn how to pray? In third grade, in fourth grade, in fifth grade. So basically, what is he telling me? He's davening like a fifth grader. And that's good enough for him. That's good enough. He doesn't need to develop further. It's not high on his list because good enough. And Oved Hashem is someone that ultimately continues to develop. So they're both tzaddikim. Don't think for a moment that my dear friend is not davening three times a day and in a minyan. He's a tzaddik. In that regard. But Oved Hashem he's not, because he's not willing to develop his davening. And he'd rather not listen to the laws of prayer. So therefore, an Oved Hashem is someone that's not full of apathy towards his Judaism. He's constantly developing to the next stage. A non-Oved Hashem is someone that says, good enough. Yes, Bruce, you had your hand up.
They like it in America, they're comfortable. And therefore I shouldn't be walking around asking people, because I was a brand new Baal Teshuva there, you know, why, what, I would say it's maybe the norm to have that attitude as opposed to an isolated guy on the porch.
Bruce, I think you answered the question before, and we're talking about two different things. The first thing we're talking about is it indeed going to be conducive? Is it going to be efficient? Is it going to be effective for you to tell every Jew that's walking around outside of Israel, you're not making Aliyah? And that's exactly what you quoted at the beginning of the shir. Is it better to say something or not? That's question number one. Question number two is, once you develop that yes, you should say something, they may listen. And the answer is, it's not that we're against what you say. It's not that we're annoyed by what you say. No! We just are not interested in developing our Judaism. We're happy with the level we're at. That is what this year is about, and what bothers me to no end. Because if that happens, that's the end of Judaism. If people are not willing to develop, take Yom Kippur off the map. Because they're not willing to develop. They're not willing to get better. Not in their human relationships, between husband and wife, between husband and kids, between wife and kids, between mother and kids, and not in anything else. That's the end of Judaism, in my opinion. Not the simple question of, should I mention Aliyah? Shouldn't I mention Aliyah? When? That's strategy. But if the Jew is never willing to develop, that's the end of Judaism. I hope I made myself clear in the distinction. Yep. I did. I sent classes. I sent links and whatnot. But again, the attitude of where I am, I'm content. When it comes to material possessions, that's the most beautiful attitude. Ezehu Ashir Hasameach Bechelko. When it comes to spirituality, that's the end of Judaism, in my opinion. Arthur, you wanted to say something, I think. I'm going to prove, Arthur, it's not a higher level. It's the same level. It all means the same thing. We'll see as the year goes on. All of us, and I think it means the same thing. We'll see. I'm going to prove in this year, although this Gemara is against me, that Tzaddik, Oved Hashem, and Talmid Chacham all mean the same thing. And what you come out of this year is, if you can understand one thing in this year, that's all I need you to remember. And that is the following. Saying good enough is the antithesis to Judaism. You'll see in a moment why I think tzaddik is the same level. I think it all means the same thing. Now, Arthur, I'm going to be honest with you. This Gemara is against me. This Gemara seems to say you can be a tzaddik and not an Oved Hashem. I'm going to prove from another Gemara that I think it means the same thing. I still have to try to explain this Gemara, but maybe in a different year. But quite frankly, I believe it all means the same thing. Good enough is the opposite of Talmid Chacham, tzaddik, and Oved Hashem. I'm going to try to develop. That's a tzaddik, Talmid Chacham, Oved Hashem. We'll see in a moment. Bruce, I am not
here judging the person. I'm telling you what he said to me.
Oh, so he decided to say, don't send me the sources. I don't want to know the facts. Instead of saying, I have a personal issue I can't share with you.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Bruce,
I have no problem, Bruce. Bruce, if a person goes ahead and says one thing and means another, and he's not honest in his speech, that's a totally different shear. And I'm not judging him. God will judge him. That's not my point here. I'm talking to people that say, if we take him at face value, and that's what he meant, in my opinion, we have no future. Because it's going to be contagious to you, to your kids, and to your grandchildren. Namely, we'll develop everything, except for our Judaism. Let me put it to you vividly. If your phone wakes up in the morning and tells you, one of your apps has something new. Please download the new version. Will you do it? I'm assuming you will. But if you get up in the morning and there's a new shear that may develop your davening, may develop your Shabbos table, may develop your learning, may develop your kashrus, may develop many different realms of what you do every day, will you download the new version or won't you? That's the question. And I am very bothered that people will download the new version for the app, but won't download the new version for their prayer service. If a person doesn't download anything, has his old phone from 6 years ago, and he's consistent, maybe this shear is not the shear he needs or she needs to hear. But if a person says, I am not mediocre when it comes to my phone, I am not mediocre when it comes to buying a new computer, I'm not mediocre when it comes to having a smart home, I'm not mediocre when it comes to changing my light bulbs to LED lights and whatnot, but when it comes to Judaism, I daven like a fifth grader, I got a big problem with that. Yes, Arthur.
I just want to say this, and don't take it that wise, but the Oved Hashem, the only time I've ever heard that used on a person is usually in the Elavataya. I mean, it's not like Tzadik. You might hear someone saying, you know, you should try to become a Tzadik, you should try to do this, do that. Or Talmud Chacham, you might hear, you should learn more and become a Talmud Chacham, but you never hear anyone saying,
first of all, you're right that in our neighborhood, in our tzibur, we don't talk about Hashem enough. And I find that very problematic, extremely problematic. And somehow, I don't know why, it doesn't happen. I'll give you a little story, Arthur, true story. It happened to me. We were at a rabbinic conference, day and a half, rabbis talking about this and about that, letting off steam, delivering papers and whatnot. Finally, a few Rebbetzins talked, and one Rebbetzin said, this and this happened, but Baruch Hashem, we got out of it. Another Rebbetzin said, Baruch Hashem, my daughter got engaged despite the fact that we were in a very small community. I never thought you'll find a Jewish man. And this goes on and on. Finally, a rabbi raised his hand. He's the rabbi of Frankfurt today, Rabbi Avichai Apple, and said, I just want to point out, we've been sitting here for a whole day, 24 hours. And the first person to mention God's name in a conference of rabbis were the Rebbetzins. Arthur, you want to hear Musser? That was the best Musser I've ever heard in my life. Believe me, of all the Musser, that was the Musser. So you're right, we don't talk about it too much. Number two, when you say it at the Levaya, it's usually too late. Because people say at Levayas, anyway, people talk nicely. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that in a hesped you can magzim me'at. Unfortunately, people magzim arbe. It's a problem. But if people are honest, Arthur, then they'll say Oved Hashem at the Levaya because in their whole life they tried to get there. Let's see another source. We read on the first day of Shavuos, Veraglehem Regel Yeshara. It talks about the chariot of God, all the malachim around it, and it says in the Haftorah that the angels' feet were straight, which means they stood straight. What do we learn from this pasuk? Anybody remember in the loss of tefillah?
Well, angels don't have any knees. You got to be careful not to bend, except in the right spot.
Exactly. The Gemara in Brachos learns, Daf Yud Bet, that you're supposed to stand with your feet together. However, again, quoting my Rebbe Rav Amital, when do you stand with your feet together in davening? But only malachim stand with their feet together all day, because they're at the height of their spirituality. Human beings have to develop, so they move around all the time. They don't stand with their feet together. Who told you that where you are is good enough? Korach said it. Korach said, Ki kol ha'idah kulam kedoshim. Everybody is holy. What did God say? He didn't say everyone's holy. What did God say? Look on the right side of the source sheet. Kedoshim tihiyu. Become holy. Don't stay the way you are and say, where I am is good enough. What I don't know doesn't hurt me. No, kedoshim tihiyu. Become holy, and then holier, and then holier. Only the malachim stand with their feet straight. Definition of an Oved Hashem, constantly developing. Non-Oved Hashem, good enough. Tzaddik. What's a tzaddik? Arthur, you ready? You want to play a joke on someone? This is what you do. You have a son or daughter that's not married? Alex, maybe I'll pick on you for a change, Alex. Alex, you have a son or daughter that's not married? You want to play, have a little fun? You tell them that when they propose to their wives under the chuppah and say Hareat Mekudeshet Li, let them add a line. Hareat Mekudeshet Li al meinat sha'ani tzaddik. You are baroth to me on condition that I'm a tzaddik. Whoa, that's like the height of haughtiness, no? No? Is she married or not? Conditional marriages are okay in the eyes of Judaism. There's a whole perek in Kiddushin, the third perek, that deals with it. Nu, is she married or not? Says the Gemara, Afilu Rasha Gamor, this guy doesn't, forget about come to Minyan, he doesn't daven, he doesn't put on tefillin. That's Bitul Mitzvot Aseh. The man goes ahead and eats treif on Yom Kippur. Afilu Rasha Gamor? Mekudeshet, she's married. Why? Shema Hirher Tshuva Bedato. Because maybe when he said those words, he thought, you know, maybe I'll do tshuva. Explains the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchat Chinuch is a perush of a Galitziana on the Sefer HaChinuch. How did we kosher the Sefer? Because Litvakim do not learn the books of the Galitzianas. They put him in the mikveh, and they made him kosher. Rab Chaim loved the Minchat Chinuch. It was a lumdish sefer of a Galitziana. He loved it. That's how it became kosher. Says the Minchas Chinuch, how in God's name is this person a tzaddik? And he explains, God didn't atone for all his sins yet. He still has to atone for all his sins. But he's a tzaddik. Why is he a tzaddik? Because he wants to do better. He wants to do better. The very thought of maybe I can do better makes you a tzaddik. So what's a tzaddik? Someone that thinks I can do better. What's a non-tzaddik? Someone that says, good enough. Good enough. Not high on my list. Good enough. Bruce, only God knows what's in your heart. I don't know what's in your heart, and believe me, I don't want to judge people. God forbid am I going to tell people, you're a tzaddik, you're not a tzaddik. God forbid! But I am telling you, you know who you are. Look in the mirror. I'm going to look in the mirror too after this year. I'm going to say to myself, are you a Oved Hashem or not? Are you a tzaddik or not? What's the definition? Not saying good enough. Did you say the word good enough on any facet of life or not? That's something to look in the mirror and come to a conclusion. I'm just giving the sources to tell you what to do when you look at the mirror. Now, after you look in the mirror, I don't think it's your place nor my place to tell you who you are or what you are. That's up to you. But when you look in the mirror, this is the ingredients. This is how to look in the mirror. Oh, yeah.
But you never know if he just said that to you to, like, have you not bug him. But in his heart, he's thought to himself, you know, I should look it up. I really should, and I'm going to. And he just told you that because he just doesn't want to be bothered by you or anyone else. But in his heart, he is going to look it up because you
triggered in her little desire to do that. She'll give the benefit of the doubt and not get upset.
I'm going to answer you, Bruce, with the following issue. Have you heard of the various issues that deal with the place of women in the synagogue? You know, can women lane? Can they be chazaniyot? Can they be rabbis, right? And there's different points of view on it. This is not the shir today. One of the points of view bother me as much as you. The point of view goes like this. The women really don't want to get closer to God. They don't want to be chazaniyot in order to get closer to God. What they really want is they want to promote their feministic agenda. And therefore we have to say no to anything they want. Now let me ask you a question. How in God's name did the rabbi know that? As far as I know, only God is bochein klayot valev. I don't know what's in their heart. The only thing I can do is judge by what they say and what they do. They say they want to get closer to God. They say that in order to get closer to God, they want to be chazaniyot and read the Torah. Now, we'll open the books and see. I have to take them at face value. Same thing here. What's in his heart, God knows. God will judge him. I'm telling you what he told me and why it bothers me based on what he said. I'm not willing to say really in his heart he meant this. I'm assuming. Let's judge him favorably. What he said is what he really feels. And that's what the shir is based on. Now, if he said one thing and meant another, God will judge him. Not me. Thank God I don't judge. But if he's meant what he said, and I hope he's a man of his word, that bothers me to no end. So what we said until now is an Oved Hashem in a tzaddik means the same thing. It means I can do better. I'm going to try to do better. So we mentioned tzaddik and Oved Hashem. Let's go further. How do I know I'm correct? Well, there's a beautiful Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, who's on a higher level? One that's obligated to daven and davens? Or one that's not obligated to daven and volunteers? Who's on a higher level?
One who's obligated.
Gadola mitzuveh ve'oseh. That's what the Gemara comes to a conclusion, though it was a debate. Explains Tosfos on the Gemara. Why? Lefisha doeg umitzta'er yoter pen ya'avor. Because he's worried. He's worried, hey, maybe I fulfilled the mitzvah, maybe I didn't fulfill the mitzvah, because I'm obligated in it. But if I'm a volunteer, any symbolic act is good enough. I would like to suggest that an Oved Hashem and a tzaddik is someone that constantly is worried. Worried. Did I do good enough? I don't mean worried of, after he did the mitzvah to the best of his abilities, he goes ahead and said, you know what, I'm going to take the lulav and esrog again. That's a person who needs psychological help. That's OCD. That's a nut. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone that says, did I do the mitzvah to the best of my abilities? If the answer is yes, feel good. If the answer is no, that's a problem. A Jew is do'eg umitzta'er pen ya'avor. That's the way a Jew walks around. Did I do my best, or didn't I? And therefore the Gemara says in Brachot, Ashrei Adam Mefachrei Tamid, blessed is the person, praised is the person, who constantly is worried. Amalei, the Gemara says, B'divrei Ktoraktiv, explains Rashi, Shema Tishtakach Mimeno, a person is worried, maybe he'll forget his Torah, and therefore he constantly goes over it. So I daven every day. Of course I daven every day. I daven every day, three times a day. Did I do my best, or didn't I? Did I fulfill the laws of davening, or didn't I? The bottom line is, if I can come out of davening and say I did my best, great. If I say I can do better, open up a book, listen to a shir. It could be a shir about the laws of davening, a shir about the experience of davening. That's great. But if you say, after davening, the following words, good enough, good enough. Am I even thinking in the terms of did I do my best? That's the end. Because the minute you say that, why would your kids or grandchildren want to be part of it? You're doing everything mediocre. So what, they want to be part of mediocrity? They're going to stay away. And indeed, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, who's a Rasha? So we said a tzaddik and a Oved Hashem, constantly I want to do better. Who's a Rasha? Hinei elu reshaim v'shalvei olam isigu chayim. Who's a Rasha? Someone that sits around? B'shalva. What's b'shalva? Shalva! I put my feet up on b'shalva. That's a Rasha. Tzaddik? Constantly working. How can I do better? How can I do better? And let me just end with the third term. We said Oved Hashem. We said Tzaddik. What's the last term? Talmid Chacham. The word Talmid Chacham comes up in Shas so many times. Did you ever think of that term? You ever think of that term? Why do you call him Talmid Chacham? Is there a problem with that term? Linguistic problem. What's the problem? Alex, you want to give it a shot? What's the problem with the term Talmid Chacham? The best way to answer, translate it into English and say, doesn't make sense. What's a chacham?
Wise.
Smart. Knows. What's a talmid?
Student.
How can you be a student and know it? If you know it, how can you be a student? It's like they told me when I was a rabbi. This happened to many rabbis. I'm not the only one. They told me as a rabbi, when I once someone called, he said, what are you doing, Rabbi? I said, well, I'm actually learning. And he said to me, and I quote, you're learning? I thought you graduated. New gentleman, was he right? If indeed my name was Chacham, he'd be right. What are you learning? You graduated. Right? It happened in Lakewood. You all know the story. A guy went through a red light. Police officer stopped him, wrote him a ticket. And said, do you learn in the yeshiva here? How did he know he learned in the yeshiva? Because they all wear the same uniform. He said, yes, I learn in the yeshiva. So they said to him, how many years have you been learning in the yeshiva? The gentleman says, 10 years. Police officer, 10 years? And you haven't graduated? You must be the stupidest person in that yeshiva. No wonder you went through a red light. Ah, you practice. What a beautiful term. They didn't think of that. Gentlemen, what's a Talmid Chacham? One of the Gemaras say, Talmidei Chachamim ein lehem menucha. They don't have rest. Lo ba'olam hazeh, v'lo ba'olam haba. What do you mean they don't have rest? Why can't they rest? Because they're constantly working on themselves. I heard from my Rebbe Rav Rakefet, who heard from Rav Soloveitchik so many times. Talmid Chacham means as much as you know, you're a chacham, you want to know more. You're a talmid. As much as you know, you're a chacham, you want to be a student. You want to know more. So gentlemen, I believe all these terms mean the same thing. When you say, with apathy, good enough, it could be about davening, it could be about your Shabbos experience, it could be about any realm of Judaism, I believe that's the end of Judaism. Because it's the opposite of the compliments of Judaism. You're neither a tzaddik, nor a talmid chacham, nor a oved Hashem. If I can paraphrase this entire shir with one story. My Rebbe number two, Rav Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, had a newspaper article, which they do today, which was totally not him. What do I mean? He was a man of many words. His Friday night speech was about 45 minutes to an hour. That was a normative speech. Okay? I was Gabbai in Yeshiva 1 year. The Shabbos with Rav Amital was less of an investment than with Rav Lichtenstein. It was shorter, because he spoke shorter. Now, I'm in Yeshiva. Rav Lichtenstein spoke very long, but they did a newspaper article on him with one page. You know what they do today where they put your picture and it's called Diyukan? They want to just like quickly give quick answers to the questions. What do you like? What do you don't like? What do you want to be when you grow up? So they did that to him. Don't ask me how he got out of it, because he loved to speak at length. He'd like to be broad. In any case, they asked him the following question. What do you want to be written on your matseva? Answer, one word, hishtadalti. I tried. Do you know what depth is in that one word? I tried. I constantly tried my entire life to do better. I tried. A person, after davening, after going through a Shabbos, has to say, I tried. I tried. If he can't say that, if he just leaves things the way it is because good enough, then he can't say, I tried. You know what they eventually wrote on his matzeva? Oved Hashem. I think it means exactly the same thing. Oved Hashem, tzaddik, talmid chacham, I can do better. I'm going to think of doing better. That's a tzaddik, a talmid chacham, and an oved Hashem. Someone that says, with apathy, what I do is good enough! Don't bother me with the facts! That's the opposite. And if that happens, I say we have no future. Because maybe you will continue davening. But when your kids or grandchildren see you buy the latest phone, and make sure to have your phone totally and utterly with all the new apps that are out there. And yet, at the same time, you stay at the same place when it comes to your Judaism? Why would they want to be part of it? They'll buy the new phone. They'll download all the new apps. And Judaism, why would they want to be part of it? It stays primitive. They don't want to be part of something primitive. Therefore, I believe that if we want a future, we have to always think, what is the next stage? How do I go to the next step? And you know, many factors in life can stop you from going to the next step. I'll be honest, if you have a heart condition, you can't walk up the steps as you used to. Medical conditions can stop you from getting forward. I agree. But even within that, can you do better? What do I mean, can you do better? If you're doomed to be in bed most of the day, what do you do in bed? If you're doomed to be sitting at a desk as opposed to being out there, what are you doing at your desk? These are the questions that I think we all have to ask ourselves. Not me telling you. Everyone in the mirror. Not everyone looking at the window and said, he should do better. I should do better. I want them to say about me, yes, Arthur, after I die, he tried. What does it mean he tried? You can say tzaddik, talmid chacham, obeyed Hashem, use any adjective you want. He tried. He didn't sit and say good enough. If they say that about me, I'm the happiest man in the world. If they don't say that about me, I failed. And I'm talking about myself. So therefore, to sum up this year, just remember one thing. You want to be an obeyed Hashem, you want to be a talmid chacham, you want to be a tzaddik, always say to yourself one thing. What's next? As President Bartlett said on the West Wing, what's next? If you don't say what's next, then God forbid you're going to be the opposite of a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, and a Oved Hashem. Thank you all, gentlemen. I feel like a pussycat now. I let off steam.
Reserved. Brother Shua says,